SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada, the editor of SB Nation DC and Bullets Forever. And I just talk on the radio. Well, before we get to
Yeah,
well,
I write a little bit.
That's true. I do write on Mondays. Chain Reactions column. So there you go. Thank you. Thank you for pumping me up. I feel better now.
Okay,
I feel dumb when I put out all your titles. Joe Beninati is going to come up and talk Caps with us here in a little bit. Right now, our pleasure to talk some Senior Bowl. Rick Mace, who spent some time in Mobile this week for the Washington Post. Of course, Redskins insider as well with us here on SB Nation Radio. And Rick, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Well, let's start with the quarterbacks of the Senior Bowl. So all everybody wants to talk about. There's been some mixed reviews about what we saw from, or what you guys saw from Jake Locker. I've seen some people be really hard on Jake Locker, others encouraged by it. What are you hearing, and what did you see while you were down there?
Well, you know, the reviews of Jake are kind of all over the map. And the thing is, you know, everyone looks at him and they kind of see something a little bit different. They interpret what they see a little bit differently. And that's why you look at all these, you know, mock drafts, and you'll see him anywhere from, like, number 8, where Todd McShay has him, to, you know, number 25, or, you know, some people even talking about him slipping into the second round. So, you know, he's definitely had an inconsistent week of practice at the Senior Bowl, but that's not unusual. If you think back to Tim Tebow last year, he had a horrendous, you know, first couple practices, and people were talking about him slipping to, you know, the third or fourth round. Obviously, there's a lot of time for him to prove his stock, and, you know, the scouts and GMs I talked to think he is going to, you know, improve his stock between now and the combine. On the field, you know, he's not accurate, and he's I'm not sure how he's going to get more accurate. He's been working out with Ken O'Brien out in California, you know, former Jets quarterback, two-time pro. And, you know, he's going to keep working on that, but he's really blowing people away in the interview process. You know, yes, he's intangible. It's his passion for the game. You know, the coaches like to hear about, especially at that position. So, you know, he's someone that I can't imagine him slipping, you know, too far in the first round. Just because he's got a high ceiling, and he had a high ceiling last year. So all the things they saw last year before the draft, they're still the problems that they saw last year, those are still there as well. So it's going to take a coach who thinks they can kind of work with them and improve some of those mechanical things.
You said that he's kind of all over the map in mock drafts. I know the Redskins liked him last year. From what you understand, how do you think they like him this year? And from watching him in the Senior Bowl practices and what he's done this year.
You know, it's hard to say. You never want to read too much into things because, you know, the Redskins go to a place like the Senior Bowl, and their goal is to talk to everybody and, you know, make sure they investigate every prospect there. So the fact that they sat down with Locker for a half hour, I'm trying not to read too much into that because they talked to a lot of kids for a half hour, and they, you know, they went and scouted a lot of them up close, and they're going to continue to watch a lot of these guys. So, you know, I think they're curious, and if they want a quarterback, you know, they're going to do their due diligence on anyone. Mike Shanahan said that last year. They were going to bring in the quarterback they were interested in and you know, investigate him as thoroughly as possible. So, you know, he's, like I say, he's still the same kid as last year, and everything we've heard says that they were really into him last year, and if he was in the draft, they would have tried to get him at 1. If he slipped down to 4, they definitely would have taken him. So if he's in the draft this year, I think it might be hard to pass him up depending on where he is.
We're here, Rick Mace, Washington Post, Redskins insider, with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. What other quarterbacks did the Redskins get a good look at that you think could be somebody also that may end up on this team's radar?
Well, when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, you're talking about 3 guys in this draft that are seem like sure things, first rounders, and then Jake Locker and the rest. The Senior Bowl is usually the prospects are kind of the second rounder and mid round guys that you're looking at. So the other quarterbacks are after Jake. The one that I think most intrigued the talent evaluators I talked to was Florida State's Christian Ponder. He's a kid who's, you know, maybe they didn't see enough of in his college career, but he was impressive this week. And, you know, I've heard people say he could have a higher ceiling than even Jake. So, you know, that's one guy that I think his stock could improve between now and the draft, especially at the combine when, you know, they get to work him out a little bit. And that's the guy I wasn't really, you know, he wasn't on my radar at all going into the Senior Bowl. I knew about his college career, obviously, at Florida State, but, you know, he did something to impress, you know, scouts over the past few days.
I was reading about this week. I think this is an old rule, but I was reading about this rule, which is if you have, like, a Wunderlich score over 26, at least 27 college starts, and at least a 60% completion percentage, you have a very good chance of being good, and I think this applies to a lot of different quarterbacks. I'm curious what your thought is on that rule. Do talent evaluators think about stuff like that? I mean, is this something that kind of is on their radar?
You know, everyone's got their own system. I think the quarterback's such a tricky position, and, you know, obviously they care about things like Wunderlich scores, but I really think the in-person interviews it's kind of a tipping factor for a lot of GMs. Because, you know, and Mike Shanahan's talked about this, he wants to hear a quarterback talk about how much he wants to play and find out their reasons for playing the game. So, you know, a guy that's, you know, maybe there for money, or, you know, maybe a Haynesworth type that just doesn't have the passion for the sport, you know, that's not the kind of athlete, and particularly a quarterback position, that a guy like Mike Shanahan wants. The guy like Jake Locker is going to go in there and explain why he went back to school and how much he wants to be around his teammates, how important it was for him just to win his senior year and get to a bowl game and pick up a W. I mean, that's what's kind of impressing, you know, GMs, and it's going to impress coaches, you know, when they get around to talk to him. So I don't know that anyone's got a scientific formula per se. Certainly those things are the kind of things you're looking for, and if they all line up right, then it makes sense that that's kind of the athlete that's going to help you in the NFL.
Rick Mace with us, Washington Post Redskins reporter, Redskins insider here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prater with you. Well, Rick, of course, besides quarterback, the Redskins have a lot of needs to finally look like a real 3-4 defense, to maybe look like one of these two defenses we're going to see in the Super Bowl. Do you see any prospects there that seem to be a good fit, that maybe there's some buzz around, whether it be at the nose tackle or the linebacker position?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of both. I mean, start at linebacker, and everyone I talked to said there's actually more 3-4 linebackers than 4-3, and that could bode well, and that means you can get, you know, a good pass rusher, maybe, you know, have to, you know, use the first-round pick for that. Though the guy that's impressed, you know, the most is Von Miller from Texas A&M. He's a guy that led the nation in sacks this junior year. He had 17. Everyone thought he was coming out a year ago, and he decided to go back in. He kind of played a hybrid position in college, but he knew he could get better, and everyone says he has gotten better. And, you know, he's a guy that was dropping back in coverage more, standing up a lot more his senior year. By all accounts, he's improved, you know, tremendously over his great junior year. So he could be the first, he will be the first pass rusher taken. The question is, how high does he go? A lot of people don't think he's going to fall to the number 10 spot. Could be a top 5 pick, and his stock went up tremendously. Just no one could contain him in practice this week. The other, let's see, looking at nose tackles, the other huge hole, there's a kid, Phil Taylor from Baylor, the local kid, was started his career at Penn State, working with Larry Johnson there, and transferred to Baylor. The guy was really impressive, and I think everyone's questions about him, not really character, but they weren't sure what his weight would be. He's a guy that weighed like 360 pounds as a junior, now weighing about 335, 337, and he wants to get down to even 330, so a little bit smaller. I'm not even sure, you know, that might be too small for some people's nose tackle, but, you know, he's got a lot of talent, and a lot of people just want to see, you know, how disciplined he is and if he's actually showing up. Remember last year, Terrence Cody showed up at the Senior Bowl, and the guy was just a mountain, and, mm-hmm. you know, his breasts were hanging down to, like, his knees, and everyone was, you know, had no idea what they were looking at. And I think they were curious if Phil Taylor would have a Terrence Cody-type moment. He didn't. He looked very solid, you know, full of muscle. You know, he's probably going to be the top nose tackle available, certainly the top nose tackle in the game. Yeah. One other D-line I should mention, this kid Cameron Jordan out of Cal. His stock probably rose as much as anybody. He was looking like a, you know, late second rounder for a lot of people. Probably worked his way into the first round the past few days of practice. Probably play D end. Could play a 3-tech, D tackle in a 4-3 if he had to. But people really like him. His dad played in the NFL. Scott Jordan, a tight end for several years. So he's someone that's definitely improved, and he's going to help someone's 3-4 line a lot, become a lot better.
Yeah, we talked about the practices, but when the game actually happens, what are you going to be looking most towards?
I'm not watching the game.
Okay, so then what are talent evaluators, I guess, looking most for?
The Senior Bowl kind of works. It's like, you know, everyone gets in town on Sunday. You know, they go to practices. It's a ghost town right now. I mean, it's just the players are there and the guys coaching the team. All the scouts and GMs and coaches, they all left town, and reporters too. You know, I left town yesterday. So Mobile actually clears out before the game starts. And, you know, everyone, you know, the coaches are going to watch the game on TV and they're going to watch film. But what they really wanted to see is how these guys worked out in practice. You know, they played in college. Maybe they played in the East-West Shrine Game. But this is the first time they're in an NFL practice with NFL coaches. The Bengals and Bills are coaching the North and South squads. So it's a lot more for them to evaluate in kind of an NFL-type setting. So they're really more interested in how they practice and how they play in, you know, an all-star game and unfamiliar offense or defenses. So I mean, I might watch the game if I'm around TV, but I'm not going to make a point to watch you know, a postseason All-Star.
He's got a weekend
ahead. Any more than I'm watching the Pro Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, talk about a talk about a game that's outlived its usefulness. My goodness. Wow. Well, it's going to be interesting, no doubt. And, you know, did anybody talk philosophy, Rick, how it may change? I've heard a couple theories on this about how your philosophy may change, assuming things go the way they appear to be headed, which is no free agency before the draft. Will that change some philosophies for teams and how they draft?
You know, I don't know if it's going to change how they draft. It might change how they eventually, you know, go into free agency. Mm-hmm. I think everyone drafts thinking like, hey, we'd like a guy who's able to step in right away and play for us. I don't think that really changes. You know, you still want the best available guy, but it's not like you're suddenly going to be looking for a better guy who can play week one, and, you know, you would have passed over that guy last year. So I don't know that philosophically you can do a whole lot different. I think you might approach free agency differently. And, you know, if you're planning forward, you know, you might be leaning on free agency a little bit differently. But, you know, everyone really, they don't know how it's going to work. You know, once the lockout hits on March 3rd, March 4th, whatever. And they're still curious. I mean, we heard you might be able to franchise players, you know, in the next few weeks. So there's a ton more questions that the GMs don't have the answers to right now, and they're eager to have them because it does affect the way they kind of build their team this offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, no doubt. I feel bad for the guys who are normally the undrafted free agents that are signed the next day because that doesn't look like that's going to be allowed to happen either.
No, I mean, it could be like the Wild West, and they're going to figure out some kind of rules, and you know, they're going to figure it out somehow, but you know, there's still people worried that it's going to be like anarchy suddenly in free agency, and that could end up hitting in like September or October whenever a deal gets worked out. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an off season unlike one that we've experienced in a long time.
Well, Rick Mace, enjoy your work with the Washington Post, and you can check him out, Redskins Insider, on WashingtonPostSports.com as well. Thank you so much, Rick.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there is Rick Mace with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Joe Beninati, the voice of the Washington Capitals from Comcast SportsNet, joins us on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prado, 106.7 The Fan.